on Racing HQ. Racing HQ.
Light flashes. HQ. Go there, racing.
Here's
On the Pace.
Spankham's lifting. Spankham on the inside. It's an all-star Squadella, and Spankham beats the fixer poster boy and Chase Auckland down the outside for fourth. Spankham. Spankham.
22-11, and the man who knows what's happening on the pace. He's straight out of the gig with the microphone. Greg Hayes. Morning, Hazy.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. Don't know about being in the gig, but looking forward to today's show. We're going to get through a lot this morning. And Andrew Bensley is going to join us at the end of the show just to run us through what's going to happen. There is going to be a little bit of a change into how you get your harness racing through Sky Sports Radio. We're not going to give you one slab of harness racing once a week on the show anymore. Going forward, we're going to give you a little bit of harness racing each day, and Andrew will explain that to you later on. So this will be the last On the Pace, if you like. So I thought today we'd catch up with Johnny Tapp, who used to host the show a few years ago. Tappy was hosting the show, and he used to host in the gig. On the Pace started back probably more, maybe 2003, 2004, and there's been a number of hosts of the show over the years. Gareth Hall hosted it, Greg Radley hosted it, Sam Nadai used to be a regular contributor as well, so we've had a number of different voices on the Pace throughout the years, but one of the most familiar voices is John Tapp, and he's joining me to have a chat. Morning, Tappy.
Morning, Greg. Good to hear from you.
Mate, great to catch up with you. It's been a while since we've seen you training horses, but are you still keeping a very close eye on what is happening in the harness scene?
Yes, Greg. I still watch a lot of races, obviously, particularly the major ones and the good horses, and I'll certainly be keeping an eye out for one of my favourites on Thursday night at Penrith when Ignatius goes around in the Renshaw Cup. Very, very awkwardly drawn. He's drawn behind a couple of long price ones, and he's going to need a hell of a lot of luck. But, Greg, he's, 6 or 8 months ago, I thought he was a rising superstar. He might have gone off the boil just slightly, but I hope he can regain the form he was showing 8 or 9 months ago. He was exciting. What about the night he went 153-something on the Penrith track?
Correct. He is an absolute star in the making, and he looks ready to take that next step. Are you missing it, Tappy? Are you missing getting up and working the horses?
Some aspects of it, Greg, no doubt about it, but it's over 2 years now since we left our property at Ebenezer, which was our training centre for many years. I did have some horses stabled at the property of Ross Adams at Londonderry for quite a long time. I used to go up to Ross's place every day for probably another 18 months, and then slowly the team dwindled. I finished up with only one horse left. He was on lease, and rather than go through all of the legalities and the complexities of renewing the lease, I thought, well, it's probably time for me to bow out.
You're still keeping your hand in the media game, more on the social media with a podcast that you do regularly. And while I was mentioning that this show in a half an hour block is no longer going to be available from this week forward, people are able to download your podcast and tune into that while they might be driving to work and listen to a podcast with you catching up with someone in the racing industry.
Greg, you're quite right, mate. When I finished with the horses 8 or 9 months ago, my daughter Rebecca instantly recognised that I was walking the box, to use racing parlance, and it was her suggestion that I open a website and continue to write about racing and harness racing and talk to the participants in both sports as I'd been doing for more than half a century. Took a little while to set up and to get going, but Greg, it's the only thing about it, there's a lot more work involved than I ever imagined, but it's certainly better than the other way, not having enough to do. And the podcasts appear to be one of the most popular parts of the website, and I get to talk to some really interesting people. And the nice part about doing these podcasts is the fact that there are no time constraints. If you want to talk to a driver or trainer or jockey for half an hour or 40 minutes, you can do so. And I think you, Greg, told me, didn't you, recently, that you're finding them very entertaining, or very interesting at least, when you're driving long distances.
Yeah, well, I've got a, I drive to work from down near Menangle over to French's Forest here at the studio. So I've got, you know, an hour and a half drive each way every day. So I'm a big podcast listener, not a massive fan of commercial radio when the ads come on. So I love listening to podcasts. And yes, yours is a regular. I'm a big downloader. Who have been some of your favourite guests that you've caught up with?
Well, I've spoken to a lot of harness racing people, Greg. Darren Hancock, only a few weeks ago, and we talked about Darren's career in the game. He was born into it, of course. And, you know, I actually drove a horse on the occasion of Darren Hancock's first drive as a 16-year-old at Bankstown. He won that race on a horse called Sportsman's Talk, and I can remember him flashing past me coming around the home turn and almost blew me out of the cart. Well, he's gone on to great things, Darren Hancock, and he's a very interesting podcast guest. Todd McCarthy was on not long ago, Kerri-Ann Morris, Blake Fitzpatrick, Jodie Quinlan, immediately after that nasty accident she had at Melton in the float car park. Tim Butter's been on the podcast. Fred Kersley was a very interesting one, Greg. Ashley Grives, Darren McCauley, or rather Darren McCall, the Menangle trainer. Gavin Lang was very, very interesting and very absorbing, talking about his career and the great horses he's driven. Jimmy Douglas has been on there. Gavin Fitzpatrick, Mark Callaghan. And they're all still there, Greg. You've only got to scroll down and you can still find them. This week, your friend and mine, Fred Hastings, who tipped the program at Penrith last Thursday night.
Yeah, very entertaining. I've known Freddie for a number of years, and we are very close mates. It'll be very interesting. I look forward to having a listen to that one.
Yeah, well, Freddie talks about his early days with 2KY and all of the people who've helped him along the way on the journey that has taken him to the top job.
Well, mate, thank you for joining us. I thought it was very important that we get you on this morning, seeing as you are a former host of this show, and the website. Can you give us the address?
It's a very complex and difficult one. JohnTapp.racing.
JohnTapp.racing. I think we can all put that in our minds and follow and find the website pretty easily. Good on you, Tappy. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Good on you, Greg. Lovely to talk. Congratulations on your wonderful contribution to On the Pace in recent years. Nobody is more passionate about this sport than you are, and you've done a wonderful job in that role for a long time.
Thanks very much, mate.
See you, Greg.
There he is, John Tapp, joining us to have a chat, and that's the website. You can go and find those podcasts. Well worth listening to. Tappies can... If you've watched the... Inside racing stories that he used to do on Sky, they were fantastic and very good to listen to. If you get a little bit flustered in the traffic, you get a little bit fired up, fantastic to listen to. JohnTapp.racing, and you find out a little bit more about people in the sport. Not only harness racing too, there's some fantastic racing podcast there as well. We'll catch up now with Lachie Manselman. He drove the feature winner at Menangle on Saturday night, Come Collect in the Ranji Bill. Come Collect had been working up to one of these wins. Obviously, major occasion's been the form mare in New South Wales, well, probably for the last few months. She ran an absolute cracker in the Ladyship Mile when she chased home Dream About Me. But Come Collect had been firing out of the gate and been racing really well. And then all of a sudden on Saturday night, she got into a race where she got a beautiful run. Lachie drove her exceptionally well. Lachie, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Mate, really well. You must have been really happy with her performance because she had been knocking on the door.
Yeah, she's been going super of late. Just hadn't been getting a lot of luck. Like, two starts back, she got stuck on the fence and couldn't get out. She ran fifth there, and then went really good when Matty Young drove her. She ran third in the free-for-all to Maxi Man. So, yeah, she's been going awesome.
So when you got in behind the leader on Saturday night and there was some speed on, did you think, well, if I can get out at the top of the straight, I'm going to be half a hope here?
Yeah, I know if she got a shot at them, she'd be a chance, but they're really good mares around her, so you never know what's going to happen.
And then when you're able to get out halfway up, you came at major occasion pretty quickly, but she didn't want to lie down at all, that mare. She really fought you even right until the last 50 metres.
Yeah, major occasion. Super tough horse. Like, she just doesn't stop. In the ladyship, I had Bridget Blue Chip, and she did her best to get past, but major occasion just wouldn't let her. So I wasn't sure if we would get past because major occasion just keeps finding, but we did. We just beat it for speed, I think.
Mate, I reckon that meant a little bit to you as well, because Shane and Lauren are away having a break at the moment. They've, it's been a pretty busy time for them, being Miracle Mile and the Carnival of Miracles, and before that, the Victoria Carnival as well. So it's been a very busy time, and obviously with them away, Shane's mum's there, but you're there as well, and basically you two are running the team. So I would suggest that was a pretty big milestone for you, being able to take out a feature race with Shane and Lauren away.
Yeah, it was really good. Shane and Lauren, as you said, on the well-deserved holiday. They get back tomorrow, so it'll be good once they're home, but it was good to get a winner while they're away, especially a big winner like that.
You've got 110 driving winners now, 48 winners for the season, so you're coming up towards 50 winners for the season, which will be a good milestone for you. You're driving Yaya's Hotspot this Thursday in the Renshaw Cup. Obviously, you've got a good association with that horse. Do you give him a good chance in a race like that?
Yeah, he's always a good chance in races like that around the littler track. He loves them, and if he can get the right run or a late split or any luck go his way at all, he's always a danger.
Well, mate, congratulations. You're doing an exceptional job. Well done with that win on Saturday night. There was a little salute there too, so it obviously did mean something to you. Well done and good luck. Keep going.
Thank you.
There he is, Lachie Manselman. Really good job. He's only 19. He's already brought up the century of winners in his career. He's closing in on 50 for the season. And when the boss or the bosses are away and they can keep winning Group 3 races like the Ranji Bill, that's obviously a sign that the staff can do a good job. So well done to Lachie. And he put the horse in a good spot. He was able to get in behind the leader. And then all of a sudden, he was able to extricate three wide and down the outside and prove too strong. And just while I know Tappy mentioned Freddie tipping the card last week at Penrith, but should mention, well done to Fred tipping the card. I've never done that. He's done it three times now in his career. He tips more meetings than me, but still three times in his career now he's tipped the card. It's like a golfer getting the hole in one. Well done, mate. Brent Lilly's going to join us now. And the reason I wanted to have a chat to Brent is because he's got this Sicario absolutely low flying at the moment, won a heat of the carousel this time last week. But not only have they qualified for the carousel, but the horse is going to go around in the Renshaw Cup this week. And Brent's joining us to have a chat. Morning, Brent.
Hey, Z, how are you?
Mate, really well. Sicario, high price purchase. Never easy when a horse like that comes into the stable. You decided to miss the Chariots of Fire with him, but the horse is starting to really fire some bullets.
He is, yeah. He's been going well, you know, ever since we bought him, and obviously before we bought him. But no, he's doing the job at the moment that we hoped he would.
Now, what about last week's win? That was pretty effortless, pretty painless. The win in the carousel heat.
It was, yeah. He was a little bit underdone. He'd travelled back from Tassie and had a little bit of an easy time and things. So. So it was, you know, a very pleasing result. He won it with a little bit in hand, and yeah. Then when I mentioned to Luke about what he thought about the Renshaw Cup, he thought, well, yeah, he thought it would be silly not to, and the run would do him good for the carousel final too. Yeah.
What was the decision in missing the Chariots? You just didn't think that he had enough fitness or wasn't ready for that level of racing at the time that the race had come around?
Well, no, my theory was that you know, Mark Purden, he wasn't Mark's top four-year-old. He had two or three better than him, and that was with him training him. Well, certainly with me training him, he certainly wasn't going to beat them, I thought. So we thought we'll go for the easier options and just tick our way through and yeah, let him find his feet a little bit.
Yeah, because since then he's won the South Australian Pacing Cup, which was a $60,000 race. He won the Eastern Challenge at Cranbourne, $25,000 race. You went to Hobart Obviously, he galloped away in the Tasmanian Pacing Championships, but you've come and you've won the Heat of the Carousel. He's obviously going to be one of the favourites in the Renshaw Cup on Thursday night, and you'll be one of the favourites in the Carousel. So you've been able to basically place him really well. He's still a C5M1, so you've got some really, you know, good options with him as a lowly assessed horse going forward.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, you know, he's only a four-year-old, so, you know, we hope, you know, over the next couple of years, we could have a, you know, obviously we've got a, you know, very nice horse, but we all know, you know, they've got to keep improving to be at the top level. But, yeah, when we bought him, we were sort of hopeful that we may have found a horse, you know, to replace Messini, and yeah, it's looking good at this stage.
So is that the plan, Inter Dominions and races like that, New Zealand Cups, things like that?
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to aim bigger, but he'll tell us where he's at. But yeah, I mean, you'd hope that 6 or 12 months down the track, he'd be, you know, competitive with those sort of horses. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what about after this New South Wales campaign? What's the plans once you get him home?
Well, we'll bring him home, and he's, you know, since we've had him, he's been to South Australia, he's been to Tassie, now he's been to New South Wales. So we'll come home and give him a quiet few weeks, and then get him ready for the Breeders' Challenge up there at the end of June, I think.
Yep.
So that'll be our next plan, and then that'll probably do him for the season.
Wow! So you've still got the Breeders' Challenge left, so he could still wipe away some of the money that was paid for him before the end of the season. You've definitely going to place him well between now and the end of August, mate. Good luck with him. He's still got a couple of features left. We wish you all the best of luck with him.
Thanks very much, Hazy. We'll need it.
There he is, Brent Lilly, who does a very good job with his horses, and he's got Sicario firing on all cylinders. He goes around on Thursday night in the Renshaw Cup Penrith feature race. It's a Group 2 $50,000 event, and the field, Team of Stars has drawn 1. Elroy Jetson is in 2. Persimmon is in 3. Cameron Hart takes the drive for Kevin Pizzuto there. The Black Prince is in 4. Sicario 5 for Luke McCarthy. Pickard is in 6. That's Todd McCarthy's drive. Ignatius, as Tappy mentioned, James Rattray inside second row. Conviction is the first emergency. Steve Turnbull, Yaya's Hotspot, Lockie Manzaman. We just spoke with Lockie. Millview Sienna is the 10 for Darren McCaw. Elmer's Image, Amanda Turnbull is the 11. And Elmer's Image, of course, is the horse that knocked off Major Dan 2 weeks ago. So that is the field. We were going to try and catch up with James Rattray, but didn't manage to catch up with him before, and we just might be having a few problems linking in with him. So we'll see if we can get him before 11 o'clock. What's on in the gig tonight? We're going to, I was over in Perth last, going back a week and a half ago for the WA Derby. While I was over there, I spoke with Chris Voke. He's a young fella going back probably 6 or 7 years ago who came across and competed in the New South Wales Rising Stars series. He earned his ticket into that by winning the WA equivalent. And I spoke with Chris about his career. I think he's 30 now. And he's one of the freelance drivers over there. And he'll be on the show. I spoke to him about his career. Unfortunately, he was involved in a fall on the Tuesday. I was there on the Friday, but he was involved in a fall on the Tuesday, so he was unable to do too much driving for us on the day we were there. But we had a good chat to Chris about his career. Todd McCarthy's going to join us. He's going to tell us about his trip to Sweden to represent Australia in the World Driving Championships. There'll be a full wrap-up of the Mildura Cup meeting on Saturday night, and also the big Q-Bred meeting at Albion Park on Saturday night. And on Lock Wheels, we're going to have a chat about the top junior drivers in Australia. Jason Bonington, Gareth Hall and myself, we're going to rate our top 3 juniors in Australia. So that's what's coming up on In The Gig. And Andrew Bensley is going to join me right now. Hoss, I was mentioning at the top of the show that the way harness racing is going to be delivered on the show is going to change. Instead of getting a slab of harness racing once a week, we're going to cut it up and make sure we get a little bit of harness racing every day. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, Hazy. Yeah, look, we've thought about it over the last few months and the timing of it and things like that, and helping the codes gain more publicity as we approach the weekends and the like. And we've decided that at this time, pretty well from 10:30 Monday to Friday, it'll really kick in on Easter Monday, but like tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, you'll get a you'll get the latest news and any tips that might be around. So it'll kick in officially from Easter Monday, from 10:30 Monday to Friday. It'll be the latest harness news, and that'll be followed by the latest in greyhound news. And as I say, Hazy, there's so much that the build-up to Saturday, it might be Menangle or somewhere else with the Carnival of Cups or something, that we can build into it instead of you having to really cram it into 30 minutes. We're going to allot, 10 or so minutes every morning so we can update all the participants on what's going on.
Good as gold, mate. Looking forward to it, and I'll try and join you every Tuesday.
Well, I've got you down, Hazy. Please don't tell me you're dropping off Tuesday.
No. I'll be here every Tuesday to wrap up what's coming up on In the Gig and run through what's happening that day at Tuesday, because obviously Tuesday an important day with Menangle, and especially with the trialers coming up, with good horses returning.
And I think that, you'll be able to, if there's a key news story around, you'll be able to talk to whoever that person may be. As I say, we're going to give ourselves 10 or so minutes, and that'll allow you if there's a major story around. So there'll be interviews, there'll be tips, there'll be the latest news. As I say, it kicks in officially on Easter Monday from 10:30 with all the latest harness and then greyhound news following that.
Good as gold, mate. Thank you
Thanks,
very
Hazy.
Much. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, mate.